Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalet, we're in chapter 17, Perek Yud Zayin, about halfway through. We're speaking about how a person who's Oisik in Torah, a person who engages in Torah, so not only is he protected in this world, and he has all his needs met in this world, his panosa, Hashem takes care of him, he takes off the yoke of other types of bondage, other types of problems, he takes away from him, and he may freeze him up from all types of troubles, so that he's fully free to learn Torah. But in terms of the next world, also he's protected. When a person goes into the next world, so there's all sorts of an accounting a person has to give for his life, for the life that he lived, and there's remedies. If he messed up, if he didn't live his life as he could, there are remedies that have to be made. The remedies in the world to come are much, much harsher than the remedies in this world. If a person gets to fix it in this world, like a stitch in time. Stitch in time, if you can fix it in this world, it's much easier, because then you're fixing it yourself. If you fix it yourself, but if it has to be imposed on you, then the world becomes much, much harder to make changes. And that's the punishment of Gehenna. But the Torah scholar avoids all of this. So we start here in the text, and Kein Amar Rezal V'Perek Chelik B'Posuk Nefesh Omel Om L'Loi. So it brings in Perek Chelik, that's in Sanhedrin. There's a verse in Mishnah that says, the soul that toils, it toils for him. The soul that toils, so the toil that he does, it toils for him. So the Gemara says, "Who Omel b'makom zeh?" He is toiling in one area. V'atoyo omelus lo b'makom acher. And the Torah toils for him elsewhere, even though a person is limited. Isn't limited, you can only do so much. But if you're toiling in Torah, so the simple meaning here is in terms of that when one is learning one section of Torah, so to speak, the Torah is preparing for him another section, that later on he's struggling with a certain section, that through struggling with this particular section, that's going to help him with other sections later. So to speak, the Torah is preparing him for later section that will just suddenly come clear to him as a gift to him. We used the analogy before that a Torah is like a faithful wife, an Eshes Chayil. So the Torah itself prepares for him teachings and learnings that he should be succeed in his learning Torah. So that's also hinted in this verse, that the soul that toils over Torah, his toiling is for him. The toil that he invests also helps him in other places. So in the Midrash Mishle it says, Chochmas Noshim Bonsu Besa. It says the wisdom of the women builds her house. Says the Midrash on that pasuk, Kol mi shekana lechochma bo'ilam hazeh, anyone who acquires wisdom in this world, yehei muftach shehi bonsu lo bayis lo'ilam haba, he can be certain that his wisdom has built for him a house in the world to come. Now, as that same verse we said before, how that if you toil in Torah, the Torah toils for you, we're applying it as follows. We're applying that a person toils in Torah in this world, the Torah that he toils in toils for him in the next world, that prepares for him a place in the next world. And that's this teaching we're just seeing now, that the wisdom that a person invests in this world is what really prepares for him a palace in the world to come. Whereas, in contrast, Yivelis, the same verse that speaks about the wise woman who builds her house, that same verse goes on to speak of Yivelis, the foolish woman, Biyodea ta'asen, with her hands she destroys it. She actually destroys her house. Kol misha loy konale chokhma, says the Midrash, anyone who does not acquire wisdom, yehei muvta shekonale gehenem lasit lavoi. So if a person is not building, say he's destroying. And as life is about an opportunity to be building. Life is about a journey. Our whole lives is a journey. So therefore we're given opportunities to build. But if we're not building, so that we should know that we're destroying. One of the analogies they use is a person that life is like an escalator going down. So if it's an escalator going down, so if you're not actively climbing the escalators, then the escalator is carrying you down. Okay, if you can't stand still in life, if you're not moving upwards, you're moving down. So that's what it says about the foolish person who's not toiling in Torah, that actually he's preparing for himself suffering in the world to come. Another midrash called the Sisrei Torah. It says over in Parshas Lech Lecha, Achad Vayim Eile. So it says that this is part of the Zohar. Achad Vayim Eile. It was after these words. Now that verse is what introduces us to one of the tests of Avram Avinu. So it says there in the Midrash, Achad Dvarim Eila Heim Divrei Torah, after these words of Torah, Zeshukosav Al Tira Avram Anuchi Mogen Lechom, he called Bechinas Rois Shebegenim. Right, after these matters, there was the story of the war of the kings. There were four kings who fought the five kings, and the four kings were victorious, and they took Lot, Avram's nephew, they took him into captivity. And Avram Avinu went and pursued these kings, and it was a tremendous miracle that he was victorious over them. He was able to free all the captives. He was able to free his nephew. He was able to bring back all the captives that were captured by the four kings. He was able to bring them all back, plus all the loot. He brought everything back. So after that, it says, and the Torah tells us that Avram was worried that maybe he'd received his reward in this world. And as Hashem did such an amazing miracle for him that he should be victorious in this war, so it must be he's received his reward in this world. I mean, such miracles don't happen. You don't have a single person conquering four powerful kings. The Midrash tells us all sorts of miracles. They were throwing straws at them, straw from the field, and the straws turning, it was miraculously turning into arrows. So it was unbelievable miracle. So he thought maybe he's received his reward. So Hashem told him, Al tira Avram, don't be scared, Avram. Right? Then your reward is still very, very great. Right? This is not part of your reward. This miracle that I did for you in this war with the four kings is not part of your reward. Al tira Avram, Anoichi magen loch, mikol bechinas haroi shebegehenem. Know that I'm going to protect you from any type of evil in Gehenna. That's the Midrash says. When Hashem said, I'm going to protect you, he's not just talking about that you're eating the fruit of your reward. You know that I'm also going to protect you beyond this. Because of the type of person you are, you're going to be protected from the punishment of Gehenna. Schar ha-harbe-mod, your reward is very great. Mishum shekol misho isik b'teir bo'ilam hazeh. And that is because anyone engages in Torah, as our great people have always done, anyone engages in Torah in this world, zoyche v'yoyesh yurusas nachlas bo'ilam habo. He merits any inheritance the inheritance in the world to come. Inherits a tremendous inheritance in the world to come. In the Zoya V'yakel, Mishum Shekesha Odom Oisek B'Teira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymed Sham, the Zoya says that since a person is engaged in Teira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands there, V'Nitzol Odom, he stands there and protects him, he stands there in to help this person. As a person comes in the world to come, there's all sorts of complaints against them, all sorts of claims in how did you live your life? What were you doing in your life? All sorts of things, all sorts of mistakes we make. We all make mistakes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting for the tzaddik who comes to the world to come, waiting there to protect him, and he saves him from the three types of punishments. Right? The punishment of this world. That's the temptations of this world which cause a person to sin. So Hashem is here in this world, he's helping the tzaddik not to make mistakes, even in this world. That's the punishment of this world, the Yetzer Hara that comes, the evil inclination comes and tricks us into sinning. So Hashem is there to protect him. Umedin shel malach hamovis, and he's protected from the angel of death. She'enu yochel yishloit alav, that the angel of death cannot rule over him. We know there are a number of stories in the Gemara of tzaddikim who were engaged in learning Torah, and they were so engrossed in their learning that the angel of death could not interrupt them. He could not take their souls, because as long as they were learning, he couldn't actually take them. Until finally, there was a story with one tzaddik where he sort of had to beg to him, please, your time has come to go. Please give over your soul to me. He had to actually beg the tzaddik that he should be allowed to take him into the next world. So therefore there's three types of protection. There's protection in this world from sinning, protection at the time of death from the angel of death, and also the punishment of the world to come. Moshe Amru Harizal Perek Maidah Satoya V'midbar Rabbah Chazisa, in the Midrash Chazisa Pasuk Mizois Ilo Betanchum, a number of sources, right? So it says as follows. It says by the giving of the tablets, Charus ala luchos, Patanchum here in this. I'll take Charus ala Charus. It says when Moshe Rabbeinu received the tablets on Mount Sinai, it says that the tablets were engraved. There was engravings on the tablets. So the word engraving is Charus. But our sages say in the different midrashim that we quoted here, and they say don't read it as Charus, but rather read it as Charus. Charus means freedom. Don't read there was engraving on the tablets. Rather read there's freedom on the tablets. Just possessing the Torah is possessing a ticket to freedom. Because there's no one who is free besides a person who engages in learning Torah. Our sages explain, what is this freedom? Cheres mi malachamovis, he's free of the angel of death. Chen amru begdalet de Makos, also in the fourth chapter of Makos, shedibet Torah kulti mi malachamovis. It says that the words of Torah is a refuge from the angel of death. A person, now, just like if a person kills accidentally, so he goes to Hira Miklat, he goes to a city refuge, and there he's protected from the Goel Adam, he's protected from the Avenger, the one who wants to kill him. If he's in the city of refuge, no one can touch him. So similarly, when the angel of death comes after a scholar, after Talmud Chochem, to try and take him to the world to come, the Torah that he's engaged in is a city of refuge. The Torah itself protects a person from the angel of death. Chen amru v'peg daledim u'bezoya pashas chayesare medaf hanal cheru be'al medein cheru l'akula chedum malachamovis. So the Zohar says there, Cheirus Ve'ilam Azeh, it's freedom in this world, Cheirus Miko, it's freedom from all types of troubles. Cheirus Mimalachamov is freedom from the angel of death, She'en Yochel Ish Lo'itelov, that he cannot rule over him. V'chein Hu Bevada She'are Im Adam Hayom Mizdabik Be'etz Chaim, and so it is certainly, so this is the way it has to be, because if a person was clinging to the tree of life, Shu'a Terah, Lo'aya Goyim Avisus, he never would have been dead. The fact that there is death in the world is only because Adam Arishon sinned. Adam sinned, and therefore he was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and therefore he had to die. He was supposed to live eternally. And there were two trees in Gan Eden. There was the Eitz Hadas, which was the evil inclination, and there was Eitz Chaim, which was the tree of life, which is the Torah. In other words, if he would have clung to the tree of life, which is the Torah, he would have lived forever. That's the whole. So certainly it's like that. Certainly the Torah is going to keep him alive. Certainly it's going to protect him, because Torah is the antidote for the angel of death. Right? If a person is clinging to Torah, that is the source of life. So certainly he would never have to die. Right? In Adam, Hayam Mistabek, but Eitz Chaim Shuvat Torah Lo Yagoyim Movis Lo Ulekol Arulom. He wouldn't have caused death not to himself, not to the entire world. Mishum Zekesh and Osan Hakodesh Bocha Torah Israel. And for this reason, when Hashem gave the Torah to Israel at Sinai, that's where it says this verse, this idea that there was freedom on the tablets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani amati Elokim atim. Hashem said to the Jewish people when they received the Torah at Sinai, he says, you are gods. He said to the Jewish people, you are now like gods. If you've taken the Torah, you accept the Torah from you, you're lying like gods. You're eternal beings. And therefore the person who is engaged in Torah cannot be ruled over, he cannot be controlled by that evil snake, the evil snake representing the Yetzirah, Shehech Shechaidam, that evil snake that caused darkness to the world, because once Adam Arishon sinned, he brought darkness, he brought death into this world. But by taking Torah, we know the Jews at Mount Sinai actually were able to live forever. When they accepted the Torah, Sinai, they should have lived forever. If they hadn't sinned with the golden calf, so then from that point onwards, we'd still have them around us, because from that point onwards, the Jewish people would have lived forever, accepting the Torah and adopting the Torah and sticking to the Torah. But they didn't stick to it, they didn't keep to it. But that's the power of the Torah, that the power included in the Torah. Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18. And for this reason, a person accepts on himself the yoke of Torah, the yoke of the Holy Torah, he does it for its own sake, he does it with a true intention, and he does it with sincerity. As we explained before, when he said learning Torah for the right reasons, for the right motivations, which we've mentioned before, is to learn the Torah, to know the Torah, to understand the Torah, and to try and keep the Torah to the best of our ability. That's considered learning Torah for its own sake. So such a person is elevated in all matters of this world. He actually is, as we mentioned before, he's free. He's free, he's also elevated, he's freed from this world, and he's elevated beyond all matters of this world. And it's Hashem himself who actually interacts with him. He no longer interacts with aspects of this world. Hashem himself interacts with him because he's beyond the realm of this world. Above the forces of the natural forces of this world and the different constellations, the different forces in this world, Right? There's all sorts of different forces, like the force of gravity, or there's wind, fire, there's cold, there's hot, there's force of growth, right? We now perceive that growing around, all sorts of things that are happening. There's all different energies in this world which push a person one way and another way, like a ship in the ocean, right? The tides push it one way and the winds push it another way. There are all different forces in this world. But a person who's engaged in Torah is above all of these forces. Kevin Shehu Dovuk Batera by Kodesh Bohu Mamish Kavyohu, since he is clinging to the Torah and to Kodesh Bohu, so to speak, himself. So therefore that elevates him above this world. Miskadesh Bikadusha Elyoina Shalatera Akadusha. He is sanctified. Himself is sanctified by the holiness, the upper holiness of the Holy Torah. Shilamara Lein Arich Mikola Ilomus, which is something that's way beyond, without estimation, it's way, way, way beyond all of the worlds. Not just physical worlds, spiritual worlds as well. Mian Resenus Achius Vakum Lakulum. And he gets to the source, which is the source of Torah, which itself is the life source and the existence of all. All comes from, we mentioned this before, how all comes from the force of the Torah. And this person who is also way up there together with the Torah. So he's at the source of all life and all existence of the entire world. He understands Achius Vakium Lekulam, Lekola Koichazatim. It's the Torah itself that empowers all the different powers, all the natural powers and natural forces of this world. They all get their power from the Torah. Hare Adam Ha'isigbom Mechai Mechai Meskulam. So it comes that a person who's engaged in Torah, he's at the source of where the Torah is. He's actually activating the Torah by learning Torah. So he's actually enlivening the whole world. He is sustaining the whole world through his learning. He's way beyond them. So therefore, how could it be that if he manages to be above all the worlds, so how is it possible that Hashem would be interacting with him through the natural world? It won't be there like that anymore, because since he's beyond the natural world, he's not subject to the natural world. All the different rules of the natural world fall away. They've got nothing to do with him. Since he's above the natural world, so then the laws of the natural world don't apply to him. So if you think of a company, you have someone in management. So management makes all sorts of rules for all the employees. But the person who's in management himself, he's not subject to those rules. He's the one who makes the rules. He can break the rules. He makes the rules. He breaks the rules. He's not subject to his own rules. He's made the rules for everyone else, but he doesn't have to keep those rules. And this is how we're going to explain the Gemara in Psochim. There's a Gemara in Psochim that asks a contradiction. There are two different verses which clash. Right? It says as follows. There's one verse that says in Tehillim Kuf Ches, Ad Shemaim Chazdecha, the verse that says that Hashem's kindness reaches to the heavens. Ukasiva, then there's another verse that says, Me'al Shemaim Chazdecha, that Hashem's chesed goes beyond the heavens. One verse says Hashem's kindness goes up to the heavens, and another verse says Hashem's kindness goes beyond the heavens. So the Gemara asks that those two verses clash. I think both verses appear in the same chapter of Tehillim. And they clash. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha. The Gemara says, no, that's not a difficulty. Kan ba'iskim lishmod. One is talking about people who are engaged in Torah for its true purpose. So if the true purpose of the Torah is above the world, is above this world. But the Torah was not given, the Torah which creates this world is not for the sake of this world. The Torah, it comes from the Torah. So its whole rationale of the entire world is the Torah. So if you engage in Torah for the true reason of the Torah, you're also above this world. So the one who is engaged in Torah lishma with the right motivations, so the chesed that he receives is above this world, is above the heavens. The kanbo iskim shelo lishma, and those who engaged in the Torah without the true motivations, in other words, they're really interested in the rewards of this world. They're more interested in the rewards of this world, the prosperity and the health and the children and the family and all the holidays and the good times of this world. So therefore, if that's where a person's thoughts lie, so then his thoughts are in this world, so therefore the kindness is also limited to this world. But if a person is looking for the true motivation of the Torah, true motivation of the Torah is a higher type of reason for keeping the Torah, a higher type of reason of bringing Hashem into the world, a spiritual reason of elevating the whole world, elevating different spiritual forces. So therefore, a person has that motivation, the higher motivation, you know, the chesed of Hashem in creating the world. If a person's up there, so then the chesed he also receives his way up there. Which is to say, someone who's engaging Torah without the right motivation, even though he certainly is pleasing to Hashem, right? Even someone who's occupied in Torah with the wrong motivations. He's certainly pleasing to Hashem. Hafim kavonos l'shem eizah pniyah shetiyah. Even though his intention is for some side benefit, he's looking to impress his father-in-law. He's looking to get a job as a rabbi. He's looking to some sort of side motivation, some sort of prestige that he wants. So even though he has this side interest, rakim einan lekintu chasvashon. Right, the only wrong motivation Hashem will reject if a person is learning Torah in order to be quarrelsome. He's learning Torah in order to put other people down. Right, if you've got a scholar who's learning Torah specifically, he wants to try and make a fool of the rabbi. He wants to show the rabbi that the rabbi is really an idiot, he doesn't know what he's talking. So if he's learning Torah in order to put other people down, so that's negative, that's bad, that spoils his whole Torah. If a person is learning Torah just in order to quarrel with people, to put other people down, then his whole Torah becomes useless. But if he's learning Torah with some other motivation of some sort of reward in this world, or some sort of prestige in this world, or some sort of honor that he might receive, so then, even so, Hashem is pleased with such a person, and he gives a good reward. And all the more so then, if he has no side intention, so then for certainly he's going to get a good reward. Right? Now, we have three states. We have a person who's learning with a true motivation. We have a person who's learning with a wrong motivation. He wants reward in this world. He wants the prestige of this world. And we have someone in between. He's just learning without any. He doesn't have any motivation. He's just learning. He says, we have to learn. He's not doing it for Hashem. But he's also not doing it for reward in this world. He's learning. So that's in the middle. That's like a middle stage. So he says like that. That the person's learning for this world, for this world's rewards is good, and all the more so someone who doesn't have any motivation for this world. He doesn't have a motivation for the next world either, but he doesn't have motivation specifically for this world. He certainly is on a high level. He certainly will get a good reward. And even though he's learning, he's only learning out of habit. He learns because it's his habit to learn. Because we know that someone who learns without the right intention will eventually come to learn with the right intention. That's one of the famous principles of the Gemara. A person who learns Torah with the wrong motivations eventually will come to learn Torah from the right motivations, because the light of Torah is so powerful. Once he starts seeing the light of the Torah, it changes his thinking. It puts him on a different level. So therefore, if initially he had some sort of side motivations, or he's learning without any motivation, he was just learning, but the light of the Torah itself is enlightens him. The light of the Torah itself turns him around. In Kozei Adayin Kadesh Nisale, so we said that the person who will be elevated by the Torah, even though he's got side motivations at the moment, but in the meantime he has not yet been sanctified and elevated, Shian Hagosi is Baruch Ito B'chol Inyonav L'malem Mikoich Zativim. Still he'll have a Kodesh Baruch Hu helping him beyond the forces of nature. It's still, Hashem will help him beyond this world. In other words, it says the kindness of Hashem for those who learn without the right motivation, their kindness goes up to the heavens. But it's above this world. Up to the heavens is beyond this world. So their kindness comes down from the heavens, which is the source of the forces of natural forces of this world, which are from the heavens. So his kindness, the person who learns with the wrong motivations, his reward comes from beyond this world, but only up to the heavens. Only up to the heavens. Up to the heavens is those forces, those spiritual forces which control this world. But someone who learns with the right motivation, his motivation truly is to please Hashem, and it's for spiritual motivations, about bringing the divine presence into this world, with the highest type of motivations, the motivation of fulfilling the Torah and living the Torah for itself. So about such a person, the kindness he receives, it says, Omer me'al shamayim, his kindness that he receives is beyond the heavens. Which is to say, the whole interaction that he has with Hashem is totally beyond any of the rules of nature. This is what the Zohar says in Parshas Pinchas. Come and see. All of the creatures of the world, all the different creations of the world, before the Torah was given, were all dependent. They're all dependent on the concept of mazel. Mazel means that there's a certain good fortune in this world. You know, there's a wheel of good fortune sometimes. The wheel of good fortune is good for one person, not so good for the other person, and it turns a bit more, and then the fortune goes from A to B, from B to C, to C to D. That's a wheel of fortune. So before the Torah was given, there was a concept of good luck, bad luck. Now, different people got different fortunes. Our Achash Nit Natura in Israel. Once the Torah was given to the Jewish people, it extracted them from the forces of the nature of the stars and the constellations. It took them out of the wheel of fortune of this world. In other words, the cause and effect of this world, where there's good luck, bad luck, different things happen in this world, that's of this world. But once the Jewish people received Torah, it took them out of that whole cycle. And for this reason, anyone who engages in Torah is freed of the different influences of the stars and the constellations. Specifically when he's learning Torah in order to fulfill its mitzvahs, which is the highest intention. The highest intention to learn Torah for the sake of the Torah, to fulfill the Torah. So he goes way beyond this physical world, and he's protected from the different forces of this world. And if he's not learning with the right motivations, he doesn't have the full school of the Torah, he doesn't get the full force of the Torah. So therefore it's almost like he's not engaged with Torah, then he's still under the forces and the influences of the influences of the constellations and the different fortunes, good fortune of this world, good fortune, bad fortune. Okay, so we're speaking about the Torah scroll of Adarabba, Kuech Sativi Musurim Elov. Right, not only is the one who's learning Torah with the right motivation freed from the forces of nature, but on the contrary, the force of nature are given into his hands. He has control of the force of nature. Not only do they not have control over him, but he has control over them. Like he decrees, so he can decree over them. Right? There's a concept of tzaddik goizeh bat Hashem kayim. A tzaddik can actually decree. He makes a decree, and the world follows his decree, so to speak. He decrees over the different forces of the world, and they can follow his decrees. In any way he wants, he can turn them. He can actually direct the forces of nature to go one way or another way. And the fear of him, there's a fear of the Torah scholar. The Torah scholar is learning for the sake of Hashem. There's a fear of him that is felt by all others. All others can have a certain fear of him. The Perikatir, and he sends him Malchus Mimshola. Like we mentioned, that the Torah itself gives him kingship and governorship. You know, he has power. He becomes a powerful person. He's an influential person because of his Torah. That gives him kingship. He's like a ruler. Kineze Lokav Oir HaTorah. And that is because the crown of Hashem, the light of the Torah, Meira Mavhekas Al Roisho, it shines and glistens on his head. It shines on his head. Basically, he's got a crown. What's his crown? What the crown he's wearing is the light of the Torah. The light of the Torah is a crown. So he's walking around with a crown on his head. It's like an invisible crown, but so to speak, there's a certain sheen, certain shining that comes from him, certain authority that comes from him, because he's got the light of the Torah within him. And he himself is protected, so to speak, by the shade of the wings of the Divine Presence. He walks around with protection. He's got like a bodyguard surrounding him. That's the wings of the Divine Presence, which protects him. He's in a glass bubble that's protected. It says there, Hashem says, I shall put my words in his mouth. The madno, kol adam ha'isik b'divrei Torah. Hashem puts his words, Hashem's words, the Torah's words in the person's mouth. The madno, kol adam ha'isik b'divrei Torah. This teaches us that any person engages in the words of Torah, the sifses of David's Torah, and his words, his lips are muttering the words of Torah. He's expressing with his lips the words of Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu mechaseh lo. Hashem covers and makes a cover over him. Vashchina pareses alav knafeh, and the Divine Presence spreads its wings over him. And that's what it means in the verse, I shall put my words in his mouth. That goes together. Together with receiving the words of Torah in your mouth. Hashem, so to speak, puts the words of Torah into the scholar's mouth. He helps the scholar to learn Torah. Puts his words in his mouth. So at the same time, he also covers him with the shade of his hand. The shade of his hand is a special protection. Bagdomas Azura, and also the introduction of the Zohar, V'cheinu bo'isa loshen b'pasha zeschanan. Tochazi, come and see. Borei, come a chazak koyach haTorah. Come and see the great force of the Torah. Vekame he elyoin alakol, how much it's elevated above all other things. He called me shoisik b'Torah. Einu yorem elyoni mitachtoini. Because anyone who's engaged in Torah doesn't fear anyone. He doesn't fear those who are above him or those who are below him. He doesn't fear anyone. The Torah itself is his protection. He's not scared of anything. He's not scared of any sickness. Sicknesses in the world, different types of sickness, different types of disease. He doesn't fear them. It doesn't fear them. It could be maybe sometimes he does get sick, but then if he gets sick, whatever, it's the decree of Hashem. If he gets sick, it's because Hashem wants him to get sick. Maybe it's for certain purification. Whatever it is, if he suffers sickness, it's that's the decree of Hashem. But he's not scared of any sickness, because he's not scared of anything except the will of Hashem. He lives with the will of Hashem. So he has no fear. He has no fear. He sees Hashem is directing his life. Hashem is guiding his life, and he's living as Hashem wants him to live. Hashem is directing his life and guiding him in a certain path that he wants to take. And that is because the Torah scholar is hanging on, he's clinging tightly to the tree of life. He's eating off the tree of life. The food he eats is the fruit of the tree of life. He eats from it every day. Because the Torah teaches him how to go in the path of truth, and also gives him advice how to live his life. Also from the Zohar, from Parshas B'Shalach, Rabbi Yehuda Posa, Rabbi Yehuda Dashund, he says over there, see how precious is the Torah before Hashem. Shekol mi sho'esek b'Torah ohuv hu l'malo. Anyone who's engaged in Torah is beloved up above. Ahuv hu l'mata, and he's beloved down below. A person who's a true Torah scholar, and people like him. He's a beloved type of person. He's a lovely person. It's a person who is loved. So he's loved by the forces above, the heavens above love him. And the forces down below, people but down below also love him. Ahuv hu l'mata, v'kodesh boch makshid l'diburov. Hashem himself listens to his words. When this Torah scholar learns, when he learns, he says words of Torah, he speaks to someone else, he says over words of Torah, Hashem listens carefully to his words. Makshiv. Makshiv is to pay close attention. Hashem, so to speak, pays close attention to his words. Hashem is with him, he's engaged with him, and he's listening to him. He's totally together with him. Makshiv l'dibur av eino oizev oisei. Hashem is listening to him, and he doesn't abandon him. He doesn't abandon him in this world. He's with him in this world, and he doesn't abandon him in the world to come. But Parshas Matzoir, also the Zohar in Matzoir, says Kad ihu ishtadal v'pulchan demare. It says also about the Torah scholar Kashahu mishtadal v'avoidus adoinu. He is engaged in the service of his Lord, service of Hashem, v'oisek v'Torah, and he is engaged in learning Torah. Numbers of gods are ready to be at his service. He's protected. All these gods, these heavenly gods, who are waiting to be at his service. The Shamoi, to protect him, all sorts of situations. Wherever he goes, it's like if you have these politicians or these diplomats who go from place to place. So before they arrive, there's already security teams who arrive ahead of time to scour out the surroundings to make sure that everything is in order for the coming of this important person. So the same thing, there's these angels, angelic force, they go before him to check out the place that he is. They're waiting for him, they're ready to serve him wherever he goes. I'm ashamed and mukhanim, because he has these servants, he has these guards who are ready to serve him, l'shamoi, to protect him. Vashchina shayris alav, and the Shechina, the divine presence, hovers over him. And they all announce as he goes from place to place. They all, so to speak, announce. They publicize. They announce ahead of him, and they say, "Tnu kovod letzuras hamelech." And they say, "Give glory, give honor to the form of the king." And the reason is because when one engages in Torah, that's the will of Hashem, that's the desire of Hashem. The Torah is part of Hashem, so the Torah is the will of Hashem, the desire of Hashem, and that gives the person his form. And since a person clings to the way of Hashem, and he's living by the way of Hashem, so he himself is in the form of the king. He himself resembles the king. He's living as the king, and a true person's personality is how he acts. So therefore Hashem also has a way of acting, and the person who clings to Torah is acting in the same way. So he has the form of the king. He has the resemblance of the king. He resembles the king himself. Right? You see the Torah scholar, he resembles Hashem, he resembles the king himself, and therefore that's the heavens announce as he moves through his life. The heavens announce about him, give glory to the form of the king. The image of the king is passing through us. Shamuhu bo ilam azeh, and he is protected in this world, ubo ilam abo, and the world to come. Ashrei chelkoi, fortunate is he for this share that he manages to merit for himself.